I want to make sure that we get to a point where we have these open conversations about budgeting, about finance, because way too many people need help. There are too many people who need the help and too many people who need to realize that their financial situation is not unique. Mm-hmm. A lot of us think that we're going through debt and, oh, I'm the only one who is having credit card people hounding me every week. I'm the only one who is, you know, suffering under student loan debt. And I want people to feel a little bit more open to say, you know what, it is what it is. Money does not define who I am. It's just I need to do better with it.
Listeners, I want to give you $10 and help you save money on groceries, clothing, and booze. Does this sound good? If it does, sign up for the Ibotta Savings app today. I'm a proud affiliate and I have had the pleasure of meeting the CEO of this Denver-based company. He's very serious about helping you save money. After you redeem your first savings, you will receive $10 towards your first payout. The payout threshold, by the way, is $20. Click the link in the show notes to start saving money today. I love Ibotta. They're awesome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Girl Gone Frugal. Again, I am your host, Michelle Jackson. And today, I'm talking money, entrepreneurship, dreaming big, and hustling with my friend Felicia Jones from Keeping Up with Mrs. Jones. She actually does a lot of different things. So instead of me saying I am and the rest of what I was about to say, I'm going to have Felicia introduce herself and then we'll go from there. So Felicia, hi.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. We're pretending like we didn't just record another episode for my other podcast. But you know what? We can do this.
You know what? This is the beauty of podcasts. You can do it and have fun at the same time. So I am happy to be here with you again.
Booyah. So could you share with everyone what you do, what your website is, and kind of how you got into personal finance?
Oh, wow. So hello, everyone. I am Felicia Jones, and I am a budgetologist. And I also call myself a solopreneur money management expert. So I run a website. I have my personal brand website, keepupwithmrsjones.com. But I also run another educational platform called budgetschool.co. And I got into that by learning about money the good old-fashioned hard way. I made a lot of it and I spent all of it, you know, buying shoes and purses and plane tickets to around the world.
Whoa.
And eventually I got cleaned up my act. I retired at the age of 36 years old, and I started my own business helping other business owners understand their personal and business finances while they can become a success.
Listeners, did you hear what she said that she kind of slipped on, that I've known her for about a year or so now that I didn't realize, and that's kind of a big deal. And she retired at 36. So I want to talk about this because I've become enamored, in love, obsessed with what is called the FIRE movement. It's financial independence, retire early. I'm more focused on FI, that financial independence piece. But I want you to talk about, especially as a woman of color, this is going to tie into a post that I wrote actually today, as well as just a huge moment that I had in my life at a recent event that I attended. But I did not know this about you. Somehow this never came up, okay? And it was so huge to me. I was just like, what the what? So talk about how you even went from kind of overspending, things are kind of a mess, to FI. Like, what the hell? What happened? How'd you do this? What's going on? Like, was this after you met your husband, or was this before, or how, like, what was the conversation like? Like, honey, I spent a lot on my, like, my red bottoms, and I know you love them, but yeah, this is an issue. Like, let's go there.
So
tell me all the things.
Oh my gosh. So the way this started, so I graduated from college and I came out of school with a computer science degree, I eventually got my master's degree in systems engineering, and I worked for the United States Navy as a computer scientist. And one of the beautiful things about having a tech degree is that somebody will give you a lot of money if you play your cards right. And right. I moved to San Diego, California, ocean view, everything. And I got to travel the world doing this job. And they paid me a lot of money. And every year I just kept getting raises and doing great things. But by the time I was 26, I think I was 26, I was making about $100,000 a year. And I was living the lifestyle. You know, I'm single. And I'm living in Southern California. Ooh. So I had the lifestyle. I traveled. I bought purses. I bought shoes. I bought passport stamps. And I was enjoying it. And eventually I got the expensive car. I got the home. And one day I was sitting there and I knew I was living paycheck to paycheck, but I wasn't worried about it. And when my boyfriend, who's now my husband, he was over at my place and there was a big water spot, a huge, I call it the lake. There was a lake in my ceiling. And I knew then and there that I needed to change something about how I was doing money because I didn't have any money to pay for it. And I knew it. And it scared the crap out of me that I was making $100,000 a year. And I had no money to take care of emergencies in this brand new home that I just purchased while I'm driving a $600 a month car, you know, a car with a car payment, that's $600 a month. So I just knew then it was time to make some huge, huge changes in what I was doing. So I dusted off all of my financial books because I was a hot mess with money in college. And I started reading everything because I knew right then and there, I was never going to live like this again. And I cleared out all of my bank accounts, cashed out a 401k part of it to pay off all of my debt. I took on different projects in different cities because the cool thing about working for the government, you can travel and get per diem money.
Oh yeah.
I went slightly homeless.
Oh.
I sold my home in a short sale. So I was back and forth between Omaha, San Diego, living with my boyfriend. I even had to move my cat in with him and pay kitty rent because this is how serious I was about never living this way again. And it was a slow journey, but eventually I paid off all of the debt and I started learning how to invest. So by the time I got married, of course, let's just be honest, when you marry someone else who's making a lot of money, my husband's in the video game industry and we don't have children, it took us from doing well to doing great. And I started investing, putting a lot of money into savings. And then this opportunity came because when I moved from San Diego to Denver and I started working still for the government, and I hated that job with all of my passion, hated every last moment of it. And I said, I got to figure out how to get out of this. And I started listening. I started listening to the Smart Passive Income podcast. Started reading Mr. Money Mustache and just went on this tear of extreme savings because my goal was to reach financial independence. We paid off all of the debt. And so now everything just went into savings or into investing. And when the job came up and they said, hey, we're looking for people who want to retire early. We'll give you $25,000 to leave.
Bye.
And I went back and forth. It was the hardest decision because by this time, okay, I'm making still way over $100,000. Like, who leaves a job with benefits, $100,000? But I was so unhappy, and I sat on this offer until I think it was due like July 30th at 12 noon.
Oh my God!
I put it in at 11:50.
What?
And I was so scared. I mean, I've been working for the government for like 13 years.
Very secure, very secure.
Secure, tons of money, and you know, I get my 2 weeks, go on vacation, and come back home. But you know, it was that time, and we had run the numbers and we were at a point where we could actually afford it. I made sure everything was in place. I even listened to so many personal finance podcasts, radio shows. I mean, if you hung out with my husband and I, we were the most boring people. Road trips, we listened to Dave Ramsey and Rick Edelman 9 hours straight. I was on it with the money. And I remember I actually called Rick Edelman's firm to talk about investing. And I was like, okay, I got this. I got the 401k. I got the HSA. We got the emergency savings. We got a savings account for the emergency savings. And I was like, so what next? And the guy was like, you're good. Go have fun. I was like, what do you mean have fun? He's like, you're good. He said, everything's taken care of until you retire for another 30 something years. And I was like, there's nothing else I can do. He's like, nope, you're done. Whoa. And so that's how I knew we were at that point of we were good. And I was so excited. I was scared and excited at the same time to actually walk away from that job, because we had did everything we possibly could to reach financial independence. And that's kind of how we're living now.
Yeah. I have a question about the time from when you decided to take care of this debt. Why was your condo a short sale? Because I feel like real estate in San Diego would never devalue. Like, explain to me what happened. What? Like, I that one caught my ear a little bit. So what was going on with that?
Okay, for everyone listening, go ahead and make yourself comfortable and get a nice glass of wine.
Oh, Lord.
This is a whole different story. No. No, what happened was I bought a condo while we were going through the recession. So it was 2007. Uh-huh. I bought into a condo conversion, which means someone had bought an apartment complex and turned them into condos. Little did I know was that they did not sell all of the units, and they let the property default to a junior lien holder who turned all of the empty units. There were 150 and only 11 people had purchased. They turned them back into apartments. And what? That made it hard for us as homeowners. We could not sell to anyone who needed to get a loan, because of, you know, the renter to owner ratio.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was just a horrible, horrible situation. And the realtor who helped me purchase a home, she felt so bad about it. And when I was when I took this project in Omaha, she happened to see me on Facebook, and she said, hey, if you're taking a project in Omaha, I think I have an idea of how we can get you out of this place. Because I tried to do, you know, where you try to lower your mortgage and everything. None of that worked because they said I could afford it. So I was kind of stuck. My plan was to either go to Vegas and make a lot of money or win the lottery. And my husband told me, he's like, yeah, that's not going to work. And I was like, I can learn. I can go on Google. But he said, that's not a really good plan for money. So I was like, fine. But eventually, while I was taking this project in Omaha, we sold my place. So here's the kicker. I purchased my condo for $343,000, got a mortgage for it, had to put it up for a cash-only short sale for $175,000.
What happened to the other 100 plus? Did you have to pay that?
No. So what we had done, this was like a year in progress of writing letters. What she had done was she got the people to pony up the cash first. Then we went to the mortgage company and said, hey, we got somebody who's having issues with the mortgage. We can't lower it, but we got a cash buyer, and all they had to do was agree. And they agreed to take in the cash buyer and forgive the rest.
Wow.
And I mean, it does hit your credit. Yeah, it hits everything really bad, but it was a bittersweet, because I love that condo and I wanted to own a home, but it was such a horrible situation to be in. So, and that's where I learned, you know, I needed to do better with money. And that was another kicker in the pants to really pay attention to what's going on with my finances.
What was it like going through, like, you're doubling down on working, you're working everywhere, you're hustling. I'm assuming you're just always busy. You're dating this guy. What was it? One of the conversations I'm trying to have throughout this season is with people as they navigate being with a significant other, right? So I'm going to speak with some podcasting friends, males, about their perception of women and their money. So I'm curious to know, what was it like going through this and kind of having your husband, who was your fiance, kind of not even, he was your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Watch you, like, what was he, do you know what he was thinking? Like, what kind of, what was the energy like in terms of money within your relationship at that time?
You know, what is so interesting is that while we were dating, there were no real conversations about money. And I know he saw some things going on, but there was nothing being said about money or, you know, it's interesting. I'll have to go ask him what he saw, but I think he mainly saw that I was in a tough situation with the home and not necessarily in a financial situation. Because that's one of the interesting things about dating. You can kind of keep your finances to yourself, but the moment you get married, you know, everything's, at least for us, everything was the cat out of the bag.
Right.
So while we were dating, no, there weren't any big issues or big talks about how you're managing money. I think he knew how much I was making. I've always been open about how much money I was making, and he was making, I was actually making more than he was when we were dating. So yeah, we never had that discussion. Now, when we got engaged, the financial conversation had to come up, because by this time he was making a lot of money, I was making a lot of money, and we went through pre-marriage counseling. And I said, out of all the things, money will not be an issue in our house, because I had gone through paying off the debt and everything. And I wanted to make sure when we went through pre-marriage counseling, that money will not be an issue. So everything was on the table when it came to money, how we were managing it. He's a lot better with money than I am. I am definitely the spender. So of course that meant I took over all the money duties. Funny how that works.
Of course.
But even after we got married, we sat down, because we don't have children, we sat down for a week and we had to make priorities on where's the money going to go? Who's going to take care of, like, who's going to be the main person making sure bills are getting paid, and what do we want to do with it? And it always, it went back to, I wanted to make sure that money was never a source of concern or issues inside of, even if things are going bad, we want to make sure there are always open financial conversations. So if you ever see that we have issues in our marriage, or if we ever get a divorce, it will not be over money. It will probably be over laundry.
Of all the things you brought up, you would bring up, I just, laundry was not going to be on the list. So
laundry, who does the laundry? That will probably be one of the reasons we would get divorced. It wouldn't be money. That's so crazy.
So here's my question then. Who are you helping with your financial projects? Like, you are a speaker. I mean, you do a lot of things. So What is your mission as it relates to your money, the money conversations that you have with the people who read or listen to what you do?
You know, my biggest mission is to change the world one budget at a time. It really is. And it's because I know what it's like to have gone through the personal finance issues. I know what it's like to be in debt, and I know what it's like not to get help or feeling too ashamed to get help. And that's part of my story. I have this degree. I mean, gosh, I majored in computer science, so I took a lot of math. My minor was in math, but here I was, and I couldn't even bring a dollar, wow. You know, conjure up a dollar when I'm making $100,000 a year. And it's a source of shame, and you can't really go ask anybody for help, because they're going to be like, hey, you make a lot of money. What's going on? And I want to make sure that we get to a point where we have these open conversations about budgeting, about finance, because way too many people need help. There are too many people who need the help, and too many people who need to realize that their financial situation is not unique. Mm-hmm. A lot of us think that we're going through debt and, oh, I'm the only one who is having credit card people hounding me every week. I'm the only one who is, you know, suffering under student loan debt. And I want people to feel a little bit more open to say, you know what, it is what it is. Money does not define who I am. It's just, I need to do better with it. I need to learn how to do it, because we don't learn how to manage money growing up. We honestly don't. And we know basics, but when you have abundance around you and people wanting to take every last dime from you so that you can live fabulous lifestyles, you don't know how to manage that so that you can make the best decisions for you. So my goal is to talk to those people, especially the business owners, because business owners are trying to solve some of their personal finance issues by starting a business. And now you have to manage the finances in a business and your personal finance. So you get kind of a double whammy when it comes to money management. So I just want to open up that conversation to know that, hey, there's help out here. There's people who understand. And you know what? If you want to be confident in being the CFO of your business or the CFO of your house, you got to learn these things. And it's not about restriction. It's about learning how to incorporate these opportunities when it comes to money so that you can just have a better life.
I want to kind of segue into talking about entrepreneurship and what that has been like in terms of just the reality versus what you think it's going to be.
Oh, wow. Entrepreneurship. It's a journey. It is a journey. And I am still learning this journey. When I first started a business, I think you have kind of the rose-colored glasses. Oh, yeah, all I got to do is put out my website, talk to a few people, and make $1 million in a year. Easy. You know, that was the plan I was on. And then you realize that, okay, it's not as easy as it seems. So I got to do a little bit more. And by the time it got to year two, it's like, okay, this is getting a little real. You know, I actually got to get out there and talk to more people. I need to learn how to be a salesperson. I need to learn all of these different income streams. And then it gets so overwhelming with everything that is out there. And eventually, you know, for me, I had to get to a point of shutting out the noise, shutting out all of the advice, and just focusing on what it is that I wanted to do, and always going back to having a vision. I worked with a vision coach, and she said, you know, your vision is the foundation for everything you do. And if you're ever feeling lost, you have to go back to this vision. And digging more into it as I go along my entrepreneurial journey. But what I really have boiled it down to, at least for this year, is that it is the most fulfilling journey I've ever been on, because I learned so much about myself, what I can do, what I can't do. But it's also a hard journey because it is work. Mm. It is a lot of work, and it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for everyone. Because I used to be on team, everybody start a business, it's that easy. Now I'm on team, why don't we just sit down and really think about what you really want?
Right.
Because if it's fulfillment, you can find a job that does that. Or if you want the challenge of entrepreneurship, it is there. Because it's a challenge. It's rewarding. It's the highs. It's the lows. It's everything all balled up at once. But I wouldn't trade this journey for anything I've ever experienced in my life. Wouldn't trade it for the world.
What would you do differently if you were to go back in time and start your entrepreneurial journey again? Like, what would be three things that you would do differently that you would kind of advise people listening to the show to think about?
Oh, wow. I love this question. Yay. If I had to start it all over again, the first thing I would do would be to invest in self-development. Not necessarily the business strategy or how to do something. I would invest in the self-development, because I realize that if I don't understand my purpose, my mission, or have confidence, it doesn't matter. You can throw every business strategy, every business model on top of it, but if you don't have the confidence, if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't have a vision, none of it's going to work. So I would instantly invest in self-development courses or work so that I can dig into figure out, you know, how to be the best me, especially when it comes to business. The next thing I would do, wow. Once I understood my vision, I would stay focused on it. And what I learned is that I started listening to too many people and I got off track and going down a business model that wasn't for me and that never worked out for me. Mm. And even now I'm realizing, you know what, I've always had this vision of something different. And it's so crazy. Now, everybody I talk to, they were like, you know what? It's so funny. You brought that up 3 years ago or you brought that up last year. And it's just like, okay, so I wanted to do something different, but I got so far off course. So I would say really understand what it is that you want to do, because there's no right way or no wrong way to do a business, but do what feels good for you and focus. Keep, you know, put on blinders, stop listening to everybody else. And I always tell people, stop listening to the theys. The theys keep telling you everything. Do what you know how to do and just go and do it. The final thing, oh my gosh, it's a corny one, but I would say have fun. Have fun on the journey, because we get bogged down so much in trying to figure out, all right, what's my sales strategy? What's the goals for next year? What's the goals for this month? You know, how do I build this lead page? How do I get this course going? That you can get so bogged down in that you forget to celebrate the journey itself. And I talked about it. I live stream every morning, and I talked about this yesterday, in that you have to take a moment to enjoy the journey. Because so many of us say, you know, you only celebrate when you have a success. And I like to tell people that the success is that you actually started the journey of entrepreneurship. Mm. It is not something that a lot of people will do. It is not something that a lot of people will have the courage to do. So you have to celebrate that. And it was a swift reminder for me, is that I was so bogged down in work, I didn't realize I was running up on my 3rd year anniversary. That's how focused I was. So you got to celebrate. So those would be my 3 things. You know, the self-development work, focusing on what you want to do, and celebrating the journey.
What is your recipe for a healthy financial life?
Oh, wow. The recipe for a healthy financial life is first acknowledging that money exists. A lot of us pretend like we like to step around and pretend like money doesn't exist in what we're doing, especially for my business owners out there. We are all caught up in, I want to help people. I just want to do this. I just want to serve people. And we forget that money absolutely is a part of our life. Mm. And I would say, you know, acknowledge that it exists first, and then look at it. Look at your numbers, you know, sit them down, you know, sit down and look at them. Don't try to solve the world's problems with all your numbers in one night, because that's what we try to do. We go and pull out our budget, we look at our spreadsheets, and we try to solve the problem. I tell people, nope, I just want you to look at it, you know, stick it on a wall, walk by it for a week, and then just kind of acknowledge what you have been doing, recognize what your priorities are, and ask yourself, is it time to readjust those priorities? And then finally is have a plan of action, and have a plan, and make sure that plan involves you just looking at the numbers and not being, having them so tied to you, not feeling judgment and not feeling shame. So that's why I say go through the process of acknowledging. Mm-hmm. When you acknowledge, you start to realize they're just numbers. They don't say a lot. They tell a story. But it's not your character. It's not who you are. They are just numbers. And then finally, just have a plan. Have a plan of attack and go do it.
You know, it's funny you saying the numbers tell a story. And mm-hmm. I think that people kind of focus on one chapter. But as your story illustrates, you can change the chapter. You can flip the script. You can flip the page.
Yes,
you can. And for people who are... they're still on their financial journey. They're just trying to just keep focused. And sometimes it feels a little rough. Like, what would you say to them to keep them motivated and inspired and like focused?
You know, one of those things is go back to the vision. I'm one of those people, go back to your vision. And if you've never done a vision, I want you to sit down and write your vision statement for yourself. You know, write a letter to yourself date it 3 years from now. Tell yourself exactly where you are, where you're living, what you're doing, all because of this journey. And you got to focus on where the end goal, because everything else is going to be, it's going to feel rough. It's going to feel stressful. It's going to feel like it's never ending, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. All you have to do is really focus on what is the big goal? What is the big vision? What is the dream that you're trying to achieve? And just know that you are just on a mini course that's just taking a little bit longer than some people, but you will get there. And it is so hard to tell people that, you know, I've been on this journey, and sometimes it feels like I'm talking from the other end and saying, you know, hey, it's going to be better, but it really is going to be better. And I can't put it into words on how you will feel once you get there. And it will feel, while you're in it, it's going to feel gross and nasty, and it's feel like you're, you know, treading water. But when you get on to the other side, oh my gosh, it's going to feel like a blip in time. Mm. And life will be so different. You will be different. And then it really is time to appreciate the journey that you went on, because most people won't even do it. They won't even try. So, you know, just focus on what the end goal is and always have it in mind of like, you know, for me, it was, I am never going to live this way again. That is what kept me going. I'll never live in debt. I'll never have the situation where I don't know how to take care of myself and my home. And that's what kept me going. So,
and from that moment that you said that to yourself, to debt paid off, how long did it take you? I think we forgot to finish the answer that question.
Oh, because wow.
I think that's really important for people. Like, you're a young woman at that time. You're young now, but you were especially young then. So this is when people are messing around, partying, dancing on tables. I'm not saying that we haven't done this recently. I'm just saying, especially in your 20s. So you make this really, really hard decision. What would be considered a very difficult decision by a lot of people. And you implemented it. And you're with somebody. So how many years did it take? And in reflection, how does it, like, was it as long as it felt?
You know, it's so funny. I've never added up how long it took. I never did. It was, I just wanted to be done with it. So if I'm honest with myself, I will say this. I played at budgeting and I played at money, meaning I would sit and do the budget, but I didn't do anything with it for real. Mm. And this went on for about 2 years. And of course, the years before that, I didn't even pay attention. I half paid attention. But when I got that condo, and within the first year of having that waterfall come from my second floor to my first floor, it was like a light bulb moment. And I think that was about 2008. And I said, something has got to change. It's like, I don't know what, but something has got to give. And
it's not so, the ceiling.
Yeah. It's like, it wasn't the ceiling. And I was like, something has got to give. And because I had also paid for a trip to Italy at the same time, I was a hot mess, trust me. And I just knew something had to give. And I started looking at all of the numbers. And, by the time I took this project in Omaha, it was 2010. That's when I really knew that it was time to make some changes. And so all of 2010, and the crazy thing is that I started grad school at the same time.
What?
So I had a whole lot of things going on.
Oh, my God. You
know, I was grad school, the short sale. So 2010, 2011, and I got married in 2012. So during that whole process, I would actually say about 5 years.
Wow.
About 5 years to kind of come to grips with everything, and then putting something in place, and then going through that journey with getting married, and then talking about money and paying off the debt and things like that. So a good 5 years.
Wow.
A good 5 years.
Well, you know what? On that note, we're going to finish this podcast.
Yeah.
And, I want listeners, I want you to hear that. Like, you hear these stories where people are like, and I love these stories. However, most of us aren't going to end up in this. You know, you hear the stories where people are like, I was so sick of debt that I just buckled down. I don't know what huckled was, but I buckled down and I paid everything off in 8 months. And it's like, for a lot of us, there's a lot of mindset work that has to happen to even get to the, like, some people are just wired where, like, I am wired to be all or nothing about a lot of things, but it has been very obvious from my own financial journey that I had to do a lot of, I had to relearn money and my habits and how I felt about myself and why I did what I did with the money and, like, what my financial decisions were really telling me about myself. And it was a much more cerebral experience, if you will, mm-hmm. than I ever would have expected. I didn't know how much money has been tied to my psychology, if you will. Yeah. So mm-hmm. because of that, for me, it's been a longer process. I'm kind of, now I'm more in the action phase where the psychology part is fine. It's like, all I want to do is make money. There's a reason why my website is now called Michelle is Money Hungry. but it took years to really work on the psychology because honestly, if I hadn't done that back work, I don't care how much money I make in the future, I wouldn't be able to sustain the changes that I'm trying to make in my financial life. There's just no way if I hadn't changed my mindset. And that just took for freaking ever. But if what feels like for freaking ever now, when I'm 95, I'll be like, yeah, you know, it took about 5 or 7 years, but yeah. I'm 90 now. And you know what I mean? Like, you think about it.
Like it does feel like it's forever. I mean, if I really look at 5 years, and then of course, by the time you get married, you kind of have to go on another journey because now there's another person to talk to about money. So I love those stories too. I love the people that paid off debt in 8 months, but yeah, that didn't happen for me.
and I'm proud of them, but I was like, that's not going to be my story. And, mm-hmm. I think listeners, like, if you are that person who did it, rock on.
Yes, rock on. And everybody
feel good. It feel good. For the rest of us, keep on rocking on. Like, keep on staying focused. Keep just putting one foot in front of the other and just keep on trying. Felicia, how can people find you?
Oh my gosh. If you want to find out more about Budget School, you can definitely go over to budgetschool.co. You can follow us over at Budget School CO on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. For anyone that is needing to have that conversation or jumpstart budgeting and your business finance, your personal finance, definitely you can go and enroll you can enroll for free over at budgetschool.co. Tons of videos, tons of resources to kind of help you get in a better mindset. And of course, jumpstart a budget. So yeah, you can find us there.
Boom.